Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. And welcome to another episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. I am your host, Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of WritersWeekly.com, and I am joined here with my faithful sidekick, just kidding, President and CEO of BookLocker.com and also the creator of WritersWeekly.com, Angela Hoy.
Hello, everybody.
Have we stopped the song thing? Are we
not going to
do the song anymore? Okay.
I've been so busy because it's almost Christmas.
That is true.
Man,
you've been busting your butt.
I know it.
Home office for this week. Angie, I think you had something you want to talk about.
Kind of related to our episode today. Stephen King had to issue a major public mea culpa this week because after the whole Charlie Kirk incident went down, Stephen King went online and posted that Charlie Kirk had said that gays should be stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Kirk never said that.
He never said that.
Yeah.
Nope.
So, a bunch of people called Stephen King out on it, and a bookstore called Belfast Books posted online that we're no longer going to carry Stephen King's books.
I read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wrote about this in Writers Weekly this week, so writersweekly.com, click on news from the home office. I had a episode. I had a run-in with Stephen King.
What happened to you with Stephen King?
We lived in Bangor, Maine for about 11 years, and of course he lives in Bangor, Maine. Very well known. You'd see him in the grocery store and stuff like that. Well, he's never been quiet about his political ideas, you know, and didn't really bother me because, you know, it doesn't really affect me. And, you know, everybody has the right to say whatever they want, you know,
yes,
as long as it's true. Anyway, when we lived in Bangor, Maine, a person who was twice convicted of raping young girls on two completely separate occasions moved into a house right across the street from the biggest park in Bangor. That's where all the kids played on the playground equipment and rode their sleds. There was a big hill. It's right across the street from our house, too. And police came by to notify us that what this guy had done and that he was moving in. Convicted sex offender. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, it's right across the street from a park. What? Child rapists can't live across the street from parks. By the way, those are called Title III, I think. The worst of the worst sex offenders.
I think it's depending on what state you're in.
Yeah. So I contacted City Hall and I said, hey, this guy's living across the street from the park. They said, well, that's not against the law here. And I went, well, that's nuts. So, and I had a lawyer, a law firm. You know, we've always had law firms wherever we live because of our business.
Mm-hmm.
I contacted them and they looked it up and there was no ordinance in Bangor, Maine that prevented child sex offenders from living near parks, schools, and daycare centers. Fast forward, we paid that lawyer, I think it was $11,000 to write a ordinance and it mirrored an ordinance that had just passed in the other town of Orono, Maine, which was just right across the line, and presented that to city council, went to the first city council meeting to present it, and afterward all the city council members came up to shake our hands, thanked us so much, and you know, we were like, wow, it's gonna pass, this is great, and that's the way it should be. Well, went to the second city, this went on for months because they gotta, you know, vote back and forth and have all their discussions and everything.
Yeah.
Second time we went to city council meeting to discuss it again, we had lost all the support except two city council members. And we found out that there were special interests in Bangor, Maine that were making money off of sex offenders moving there. There were rooming houses dedicated to home
housing.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Dedicated to housing sex offenders.
Mm-hmm.
The local homeless shelter, which was run by a guy, I can't remember what his name was. He was against it. So if they stop the flood of sex offenders coming into Bangor, Maine, all these people are going to be making less money. And of course, city council was listening to those people and not, you know, the voters. Mm-hmm. We also found out that other cities and even other states were flying and busing their paroled sex offenders to Bangor, Maine, because they could get free food and housing with no housing restrictions. And the problem was exploding. So we created a petition, like our lawyer told us to, and it was election day. And we were set up with a table, and I was standing up with my clipboard, and all these people were coming by and reading it and signing it. I mean, everybody was signing it, of course. And then all of a sudden, Stephen King walked up. Now, I knew who he was. I didn't indicate that I recognized him at all. I was there for business, and I explained what it was, and he said, "I'm not signing that," and walked away. And I thought, what person with half an IQ and a normal brain.
Yeah, what's going on in his head that makes him think that this is a bad idea to keep sexual predators away from our children?
Where they where they can sit there and leer out their windows and pick their next victim and then, you know, start to target and then later, you know, groom that child. I mean, you know, makes perfect sense to anybody who's got any logical sense whatsoever. Yeah. So he said those four words and walked away. And I turned around and I went, what a jerk.
Yeah.
He couldn't hear me, but he didn't like want to talk about it or anything. He just, "I'm not signing that." It's really aggressive, you know. I haven't liked him since. Haven't read any of his books. Haven't watched any of his movies. Anyway, so he came out and said that lie about Charlie Kirk and then had to apologize publicly for it. And, you know, and now if you read the comments under those articles online and those posts, most people are saying, "I'm never buying another one of his books. I'm never watching one of his movies again," et cetera, et cetera. Again, you can say whatever you want as long as it's true.
Yeah.
He, I wonder if he could get sued by Charlie Kirk's estate.
I certainly think they could try.
Sure.
I think right now they got bigger fish to, well, they got bigger problems to worry about.
Right. But I,
they're having to,
but
you know,
he apologized so quickly.
Yeah.
I wonder if he got advised by his legal counsel. And that, you can't say that.
And that may cover him. I don't know. I am not a civil law guy. I really don't know all the ins and outs of that stuff.
But how that relates to how a home office relates to all what we're talking about today is you can say whatever you want, but you better make sure it's true.
Yeah. Have your facts straight.
That's right.
Well, that's our home office for today. Nothing else much happening here. I mean, I don't know. Our cat disappeared for a little while, but we found him hiding in the basement.
Jerk.
I had to change a wagon wheel. let's see. Tank's chasing my chickens. I can't get them to stop. I think it's going to be electric collar time soon.
That's it. Slow week. Yeah.
So that's home office for this week. Thanks for listening. And today, on today's episode, we're going to sail into some dangerous waters, Angela. As the old nautical charts from the 1400s used to say, here be dragons. We're going to discuss the events surrounding the indefinite suspension of the Jimmy Kimmel Show and the firings throughout our country in response to horrific statements made pertaining to the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. If anybody in this country has not heard of this, you got your head in the sand. Specifically, we're going to discuss whether these acts, the act of pulling Jimmy Kimmel's show and these firings, but mainly we're going to focus on the Jimmy Kimmel thing because that's the one that's really, man, that's just, everyone's raising hell about that.
Yeah, and it's a really good example. It creates several examples of what everybody's arguing about right now.
And specifically, we are going to look at whether these things actually violate the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Now, real quick, who am I to talk to you about the First Amendment of the United States Constitution? Well, I was a police officer 15 years. Every day I was on the job, I had to worry about whether or not I was in compliance with the United States Constitution, along with all my state laws.
Yeah.
Many, many times I had to sit and consider whether an arrest I was going to make was going to violate somebody's rights. So, just about any cop's got a little bit of a constitutional law background to him. Not necessarily what a lawyer would have, but I have enough, I think, to discuss this, and I've done plenty of research on it.
Also, I was never a cop, and I'm not a Supreme Court justice, but being in the publishing industry, you also need to be familiar with the
That is true.
First Amendment.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you got two armed and dangerous characters right here. Mm,
ready with to attitude.
Go. All right. We're not going to be sharing our political opinions in this episode.
They really don't have a place. Nope. For this. Yeah.
We're simply going to provide you with facts. We're going to review claims that have been made that these firings and Kimmel's suspensions are direct violations and threats to the First Amendment. And then we're going to compare those claims against the actual First Amendment to see how they line up.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, everybody needs to keep in mind that when you write a book, that all of what we're going to talk about today can affect you as an author and your book sales. If you publish a book and then you are promoting your book and everybody knows you're the author and then you start telling lies online, let's put mm-hmm. it that way, you can lose your publishing contract because people might decide to boycott you, your book, and your publisher. You run the risk of angering about 50% of your potential readership, regardless what your book is about.
Mm-hmm.
If you start getting online and spouting, getting angry about stuff and spouting, you really need to think about, is it really worth it for me to spout my opinion about this?
Yeah.
Or to tell a lie about something when I could potentially lose half of my book, future book sales? And again, even if your book isn't related to the topic at all. So, some publishers, if they look at your social media and don't like some of the things you post, they can refuse to give you a publishing contract.
That's true.
And yeah, they're completely legally able to do so.
That brings up, and we're just going to pause right here, hover a little bit. That brings up a question I want to throw out to the listeners there, especially if you're one of these listeners who already are getting hot under the collar. You know what we're about to talk about is getting you angry.
You think you know what we're going to talk? We're going to say.
I want you to do something. I want you to, without looking anything up, right now in your head, what does the First Amendment say?
Good question.
Can you recite, and even I can't recite the First Amendment word for word, but I know what it says and I know what it covers.
Yeah.
If you need to, grab a piece of paper, write it down. Just write down what you think the First Amendment says and what it means. All right? Because that's where a lot of this argument and debate and anger is coming from in this country. A lot of people throwing around First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment, and most of them I don't think have ever even opened up a book and read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
clearly from what they're saying about it.
And
yeah,
some of you may be very well shocked at what is in the First Amendment and what is not mm-hmm. in the First Amendment.
Yeah.
We here at Writers Weekly are feverish supporters of the First Amendment. And we believe every American has the right to say whatever they choose to believe, as long as they don't call for violence, the overthrow of our government, or use speech to directly endanger we the people.
Yeah.
We're also staunch supporters of personal accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the other side of that scale. When you start pounding your fist and screaming, my rights, my rights, my rights, don't forget that also comes with a set of responsibilities
yeah.
for a civil society.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe that you have the right to say whatever you want in this country with no violent ramifications. Nobody should commit violence against you for anything you have to say.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. This is coming from a hardcore gun-loving patriot. Absolutely nobody should do anything violent to you based on what you say, no matter how stupid it might be.
Even if it's a lie.
Even if it's a lie.
Yeah.
Even if it's a lie.
Yeah. Violent. No word for violence.
They should take you to court and sue your butt off, but yeah. they should not be violent against
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we also believe that you must accept the consequences of what you say. Employers have the right to fire people. Americans have the right to vote a politician out of office for what they say. People can stop doing business with companies that voice beliefs and opinions that they disagree with.
Yep.
We all have that right in this country. It's called voting with your dollars when it comes to these businesses. The Charlie Kirk assassination was shocking in and of itself. This was the first time a non-office holder was systematically murdered for his views since Martin Luther King was shot back in 1968. Now, mm-hmm. think about that.
Yeah.
But what's divided America even more than the murder itself has been this disgusting amount of celebratory online posts by people who've decided it's okay to kill people they disagree with. And the public statements of several politicians and celebrities who attempted to justify this murder, claiming that Kirk's rhetoric is what caused the criminal act.
Yep.
And it's just, it's disgusting what people are saying about this.
If you think about it, and you might be getting into this later, if you think about it, they're saying that Charlie Kirk's constitutional right to free speech is what got him killed.
Yeah.
And now those same now people are complaining that people are losing their jobs because they because of their right to free speech.
Yeah.
So weighing the two, it doesn't make any sense that they're using that argument. But
and if you're one of those people that really hate Charlie Kirk, have you ever listened to anything he said? Have you ever pulled up videos of his and listened to what he said? What he was talking about was faith in God. Yeah. What he was talking about was, hey, kids, take responsibility for your lives. Mm-hmm. What he was talking about was, hey, if you're black, don't let all the rhetoric in this country tell you where you need to be. You decide where you're going to be.
Yeah.
You decide where you're going to succeed. You decide what your future is going to be. Not what some politician told you or some organization told you or some culture told you. You decide for yourself.
He held
and
them.
You can do it.
He wanted to hold them accountable for their own futures. Also, he advocated for open, honest public debate.
This guy,
he
who
did
was,
it all the time.
Was such a threat to everybody, was saying, this is what I believe. Now step forward. Feel free. Tell me what you want. Call me what you want. Let's debate it. Let's talk about this.
Let's not shoot each other. Let's just talk.
What scared people the most about him was they couldn't pin that, you know, radical name on him. He was just talking to people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, before we get any further into this, and we are going to go deep in a minute, but first, hey, if you want your book before Christmas, now's the time to call Book Locker. Angie?
I have to tell you, I started my Christmas shopping this week.
You did?
So you can't look at the...
What am I getting?
You can't look at the... Remember that t-shirt? Bacall!
Bacall! Don't get me started.
People are already Christmas shopping. We're already seeing an uptick in book sales.
Yeah.
If you need your book published before Christmas, we can still do it, but we really need you to contact us right away.
We are seeing an uptick in signups.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this is one of our busiest months of the year.
You're getting in on a long line, so now's the time.
The line has gotten long, but we are busting our butts, and we're still getting a book on the market within a month, and that's in plenty of time to get your book on the market for Christmas sales. So publishing.booklocker.com. If you have any questions, just click on the Ask Angela link at the top, or maybe it's Contact Us. No, I can't recall.
I think it's Contact Us. Yeah. Contact.
Just Ask Angela's on Writers Weekly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Booklocker.com. There's a link on there for contacting us. I think it's up on the top top bar there. Just click on that. Your emails go right to Angie.
Yeah. Yep.
And we'll get you taken care of. Yeah. September, October, November, December, man, that is fast and furious time for Book Locker, and then come January, we're all like,
I know, right? January, it slows down, and we're all like that's when everybody wants a week off for vacation.
We're like brain dead.
I know it.
Well, everything dies, and it's after 4 months of how are we going to get all this done? It's like, what? Oh my God, did we just lose all our clients?
We don't have anything to do.
Close
wow.
Down. What the heck?
Yeah, it really slows down January. We'll also remember that it takes most of our competitors, 4 to 6 months to get a book on the market. So, if you don't use Book Locker, your book probably won't get on the market.
Yeah,
on the market in time for Christmas.
Like I said, now's the time.
Now, do it.
Even if you don't have your manuscript done just yet, that's okay. Call us, set up your account, and you can finish. You can hurry up.
We can actually start on the cover design before you finish your manuscript.
That's it.
Yeah, we'll get you. We'll tell you which steps we need to take to get your book on the market in time for Christmas sales.
That's right. In fact, I mean, you tell me what your book's about and give me four quotes for screen text, and I'll have you a book trailer before we even get your book formatted. So we move as fast as humanly possible. So get in on it. All right. Okay. So Jimmy Kimmel, host of the late night show called Jimmy Kimmel Live, added fuel to the fire of the whole Charlie Kirk thing by saying the following thing on his FCC licensed network television show. Quote, "We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them, and doing everything they can to score political points from it." End quote.
Pathetic.
Honestly, it's like regardless of what your political leanings are, that's just when you had such a horrific assassination, why go here?
Yeah,
you immediately start trying to pin something on the other side.
Well, not only was it not true, but he was doing it for views. He wanted to inflame the situation to get views. I read a lot of people are complaining that, you know, comedians are getting canceled. Okay, mm-hmm. Jimmy Kimmel might be funny on occasion, maybe on many occasions.
He used to be good with the Man Show.
That was not a comedic dialogue.
That wasn't funny.
That wasn't a comedian talking. No. So, that yeah.
So, Disney decided, Disney, after hearing from some of its affiliates, decided to pull his show. We're going to get more into detail in that. Well, now a bunch of people are up in arms, screaming and yelling. First Amendment violation. This threatens the whole democracy because of the First Amendment. In fact, Democratic Senator from New York, Chuck Schumer, had this to say.
We are in a moment of peril, dire peril in America. Because yesterday, Donald Trump said he intends to put a dagger through the heart of what America is about when he said that he doesn't believe in free speech, that maybe the licenses and ability to speak of people and broadcast companies that disagree with him should be taken away. When Donald Trump says the FCC should consider revoking licenses of networks with shows and hosts who are against me and who give me only bad publicity, he is talking about a dictatorship. That's what dictatorships do. They shut down anyone who has any disagreement with them. But that's what he's threatening to do today through Brendan Carr. He said, I would think maybe their licenses should be taken away. It'll be up to Brendan Carr. That is censorship. It is disgusting. It is a violation of the First Amendment.
So, Angie, boy, talk about some rather aggressive rhetoric.
Aggressive, untrue rhetoric. Donald Trump never said those things.
There's several things that he did not say that he claimed that he said.
Yeah. I've been reading about this for the past week and a half, and Trump never said those things. This is another example of a politician, and that's what Chuck Schumer is. He's just a politician. Twisting the facts to their own agenda to inflame U.S. citizens and to potentially get somebody else to be violent.
To get somebody else to stand up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the first to tell you. Donald Trump sometimes opens his mouth and starts talking without thinking.
Yeah.
I'm the first to admit it.
Yeah.
And yes, he at some point he did say maybe we ought to pull their licenses. Well, Donald Trump cannot pull a FCC license from anybody.
He said we should pull their licenses, but he didn't say it was because they're criticizing me.
No. Well, he made some reference that they all give him bad press and that kind of stuff. But again, he didn't say I'm going to put a dagger through the heart of democracy.
No.
He didn't say any of that other garbage. But again, Donald Trump can't pull your FCC license.
True.
The FCC pulls your FCC license.
Yeah.
And again, if you think you know the First Amendment, write it down. Write down what you think it is. If you think an FCC license is included in the First Amendment, write that down too.
Yeah.
Let's see where you stand once we read the First Amendment later in this episode.
And I know Trump has complained about how the media portrays him on occasion, but what Chuck Schumer just said was completely untrue.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say those statements. Yeah.
All right, so let's first break down what Jimmy Kimmel said. Again, we're going to focus mostly on him. A lot of people gotten fired for what they said on social media and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to focus on this. This is the big one here. This is what everyone's now screaming and yelling. Oh, the First Amendment is going to die for this. So let's go back to what he said. We hit some new lows over the weekend. All right, that's neither here nor there. With the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them. Meaning of that phrase is that this kid that killed Charlie Kirk is one of them, meaning he's a MAGA
pro-Trump
pro-Trump supporter.
Right. Yeah.
One of Donald Trump's supporters kill Charlie Kirk. That's what Jimmy Kimmel is implying mm-hmm. by that statement.
We stated it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's break that down. This first little fact comes from CNN. Just in case you want to accuse me of cherry picking my news sources, CNN. A family of, and I quote, a family member of Robinson's told investigators that the suspected shooter, quote, had become more political in recent years, unquote, and in particular had lashed out at Kirk at a recent family dinner. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's become more political over the years. And they mentioned that that started happening after he went to college. I continue. An electrician who worked with Robinson said that Robinson, quote, didn't really talk political unless someone brought it up. The electrician said, adding that, quote, he wasn't too fond of Trump or Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. I will repeat that. This is a quote from someone who knew this kid. He wasn't too fond of Trump or Charlie Kirk. Now, there was a family member of Robinson's, and they told investigators that at a recent family dinner, Robinson had mentioned Kirk's upcoming event at Utah Valley University. And, quote, they talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated that Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when we think about MAGA hate, who are their targets, allegedly? Well, it's gays, blacks, left, all the usual victims.
Yeah.
Well, is that what this kid was talking about? Was he trashing gays?
I want to, it took them 33 hours to catch him, uh-huh. but right after they caught him, mm-hmm. they started releasing things that his family had said about him.
Yeah.
Now, I had not previously seen what his electrician friend, now, he was in electrician school.
Yeah.
He got a four-year scholarship, dropped out of the first semester, and then started attending electrician school. So the electrician is probably a friend of his that goes to school with him.
Yeah.
I had not seen that quote until you showed it to me just now.
Yeah.
However, early on in the process, the quotes that they were giving from the family members clearly showed he was not MAGA.
Yeah.
However, some in the media and some people that should have known better started,
really wanted to.
Said, he was MAGA.
Well,
he was
as
MAGA.
Soon as they found out he came from a conservative Christian family, that's where this storyline mm-hmm. starts.
Yeah.
Oh, they were MAGA. He was MAGA. He mm-hmm. Trump supporter killed Charlie Kirk. Nope.
And honestly, common sense.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, seriously.
I know.
Just use your common sense. Well, when I was reading those accusations, I'm like,
ain't common.
I'm going to sit back and wait and see what the real story is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This next bit of information comes from the New Yorker.
NewYorker.com.
NewYorker.com. I don't think, and these we will post these links with this episode so that you can find them.
WritersWeekly.com/podcast.
According to court documents released on Tuesday, Robinson's mother told investigators that he had moved to the left politically in the past year. Let's repeat that. Moved to the left politically in the last year, becoming more, quote, pro-gay and trans rights oriented, unquote. That don't sound MAGA to me.
No, it doesn't. Mm-mm.
That doesn't sound like a red hat wearing Trump nut.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He had also begun to date his roommate, who, in his mother's description, was male at birth and was transitioning. Well, how many MAGA supporters do you think are out there having homosexual relationships with men who want to pretend to be women?
Yeah.
I don't think there are too many out there.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the inscriptions on one of the bullets in the gun he used to kill Charlie Kirk said, "Hey, fascist, catch." Now, who over the last 10 years has been calling who fascist?
Absolutely.
How many MAGA people have you been seeing running around in the streets pointing at people yelling fascist? I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I've seen Antifa do it. I've seen BLM do it. I've seen the transgender rights people do it, mm-hmm. pointing where? At MAGA.
Yeah.
Claiming they are the fascist. So if you have a bullet that's addressed to fascists, well, who do you think sending that bullet?
Yeah.
Well, that seems to me that would be a left-wing nut.
Yeah.
doing that. So it's pretty obvious that Robinson is not a MAGA Republican. So yeah. Jimmy Kimmel flat out lied on network television on a show owned by ABC, which is owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's point one.
Right. Those are his employers.
Okay. Now, ABC, owned by Disney, mm-hmm. holds an FCC license that's known as an over-the-air spectrum license. Over-the-air spectrum basically means radio waves that can be picked up by the general public. What you get your TV, back in the old days, we used to have what we would call rabbit ears rabbit on the ears, television. Yeah. They were two antennas, and that's how you got your TV. Mm-hmm. You didn't get it through an HDMI cable. You didn't get it through your Apple TV. You had to move these antenna around and catch that signal. The signal was sent through the air via radio waves.
So this is what over-the-air spectrum means?
That's right.
Okay, got it.
That's right, over-the-air spectrum. A lot of things have changed, so you may, and that's one of the things that Trump and the FCC chairman are discussing is, you know, things have changed a lot since these licenses were designed, and we may need to start kind of rejiggering how we license things, because if you're one of these companies that have this over-the-air spectrum license, the Federal Communications Commission is in control of what you can and can't say. Now, you have a lot you can say, but they are allowed to restrict it a little bit.
Yeah.
For one thing, you can't go throwing F-bombs around on network TV.
Right.
Can't do it. Cable TV.
Who would disagree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Opposite of network TV is cable TV. Everybody pays for what they get mm-hmm. on cable TV. Now, you might wind up with some network TV shows on a cable TV package, but you're still paying to see what you see on cable TV. That's a different animal,
okay.
which we're not going to talk about, but just so you know, okay. that is a different realm where the FCC doesn't necessarily control you, okay? So FCC rules say that a license holder station is required, and I quote, by law to operate its station in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. Generally, this means it must air programming that is responsive to the needs and problems of its local community license. Well, wouldn't you think a need for any local community is get the truth?
Absolutely.
Not only in their news, but even in their entertainment, which a lot of people turn over to Jimmy Kimmel to try to get their news, more or less.
I mean, again, we're going back to the whole comedian versus news show issue. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, some of this stuff that he's saying can't even be considered satire.
You remember back in the day, we'd go home and sit on the floor with our dad and mom and watch Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really political.
There wasn't any political anything about that.
It was entertainment because people have been working all day long. They've already read the news in the newspaper. They just want to relax.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I don't watch shows like that. No matter which side of the political spectrum they're on, I'm just, you know, I want to watch a movie.
Well, if I want to, and if I want something funny, I want to hear something funny, not your political opinions.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll watch a comedian that's not going to, you know, dive into the political waters and make me roll my eyes or make me want to change a channel. So, yeah.
Okay, now these facts I got from WTOP.com. Again, link will be up with this
episode.
Thank you. All right, so you got ABC, who's owned by Disney, and they have their FCC licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Now we bring in some affiliates, okay? There's two affiliates in this story. One is called Nexstar, the other is called Sinclair. The affiliates are the folks that own, these are the companies that own local television
broadcasting
stations.
Yeah.
Okay. They're the ones that bring you your TV locally.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have a contract with places like ABC, Disney, and stuff like that. But always part of that contract is that if there's something they want to preempt or not show something in the place of, they have the right to do that.
Yeah, preempt means station. You get kicked off the lineup. Yeah.
Basically. Okay. So Nexstar operates 28 ABC affiliates.
And that's not just in 28 cities. That's a large part of the country, correct?
No, they actually own and partner with over 200 stations in 116 U.S. markets. Now,
okay.
When you're talking a market, you're talking like a portion of a state.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And this is a statement from Andrew Alford, president of Nexstar's broadcasting division. Kimmel's comments about Kirk's death were offensive and insensitive at a critical time in our national political discourse.
That's true.
Okay. That's a businessman.
Yeah.
Talking about the business environment right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at all this news. He's looking at all this social media. And he's saying, boy, these people are really pissing America off with their dancing on his grave and celebrating that death and making jokes. And we don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah. And they don't have to be. Yep.
And then there's Sinclair. Sinclair operates 38 local ABC affiliates.
So they're even bigger than Nexstar. Okay.
Uh-huh. And they own, operate, or provide services to 178 TV stations in 81 markets affiliated with all major broadcast networks. And Sinclair called on Kimmel to apologize to Kirk's family and make a meaningful personal donation to the activist political organization Turning Point USA. Sinclair said its ABC stations will air a tribute to Kirk on Friday in Kimmel's time slot.
And they are free to do that because they own the business.
Yeah.
Yep, it's their business. Yep.
And nowhere have you seen the FCC step in and say, ABC, we're going to punish you for what Jimmy Kimmel said.
Yeah.
You have not seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Nexstar last month announced a $6.2 billion deal to buy something called Tegna Incorporated, which owns 64 other TV stations, and this deal would require FCC approval.
Ah.
Now, this is where people are trying to manufacture a conspiracy theory,
mm-hmm.
All right? Because they are going to have to go into negotiations, and the FCC is going to have to review this and decide whether or not they can buy up this other affiliate.
Okay, I got two ideas about this. Okay. First of all, you let one company buy up too many, then there's a monopoly. So I can see where the FCC
part of this
would
is
get
anti-trust.
Involved. With
you. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. And then a station who does want to buy more wants to look pretty good to the FCC and not be paying people to be on their networks that are saying things that are completely untrue or that are inflaming half the country.
Now, let me point out something else to you that's missing in all this. And I searched. Mm-hmm. I did my due diligence. I looked for this. If anybody, let's offer a free book to anybody that can find this in the news. Neither Sinclair nor Nexstar made any statement that the FCC threatened them in any way.
You're right.
Not one story anywhere where a CEO, an officer of either of these corporations said, the FCC is putting a lot of pressure on us, so we're going to have to back off the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yeah, right.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Was that
it wasn't
said.
The FCC. This is a business decision.
And in this day and age where it is popular to criticize the Trump administration, do you really think they'd stay silent about that?
No, absolutely.
Especially
not.
When they know they've got everybody on the other side ready to come to rally to their cause if they say, oh my gosh, Trump's threatening us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why wouldn't they say it if it's true?
Yeah.
They're not saying it. Therefore, I'm willing to bet it ain't true.
Yeah.
Federal Communications Commissioner Chairman Brendan Carr. He said in an interview on CNBC that, quote, the issue that arose here where lots and lots of people were upset was not a joke. It was not making fun. It was appearing to directly mislead the American public about a significant fact that probably one of the most significant political events we've had in a long time for the most significant political assassination we've seen in a long time.
I would agree with
that.
End quote. Yeah.
Where in there does it say, if they don't pull Jimmy Kimmel off the air, I'm going to pull their license?
Nowhere.
It doesn't.
Nowhere.
It doesn't say, if Nextel doesn't do something about this, they're not getting that acquisition.
Yep.
It doesn't say that there.
And he's completely correct. This was a political journalist, not even a journalist. Jimmy Kimmel. Okay, this is a political person pretending to be a comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get serious. Who was directly misleading the American public about the biggest thing in the news in the past 6 months.
There you go.
Yeah.
So is this a violation of or a threat to the First Amendment? A private, the Federal Communications Commission Federal Communications Commission chairman made his opinion known, and he has the right under the First Amendment to do that.
Yeah.
Made his opinion known on a CNBC show.
Yeah.
Okay. Two private companies decided not to air one television show.
Yeah.
Out of all the stuff that they program in a 24-hour period or in a 7-day week.
And all of those on both sides of the political spectrum.
They decide, they decided one show offended them enough, they're going to pull it off their air.
Well, and it was a lie.
And this is a threat?
Yeah.
The question, is this a threat to the First Amendment? Well, before we delve into that, let's go over a little history about the First Amendment. I'm going to take you way back. 1689.
It's a bit. In England. I remember.
Yeah. good old days. 1689 in England. Parliament creates what's called the Declaration of Rights. And man, I tell you, if I were to get into all of the political and the upheaval going on between kings and queens and princes and Parliament and things going on in that time period, I could do 5 episodes on that. But I'm not going to do that.
Good.
Number 9 on the Declaration of Rights says that the freedom of speech and debates or proceedings in Parliament ought not to be impeached or questioned in any court or place out of Parliament. But what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say this seems like the beginning of the English language freedom of speech.
It's yes. This is what a lot of people refer to as common law from Britain.
Yeah, because back in the day, if you said something against King Henry VIII that he didn't like,
yep,
off with your head.
Yep. Yep. And if you want to look this up, again, just Google England Declaration of Rights, and that's in 1689. This is to protect Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
The average English subject didn't have rights of just being able to say what they wanted to say.
Okay,
so
not yet anyway.
This is the start of things. Now let's jump forward, 1620. I'm sorry. Let's jump back, 1620.
I wasn't doing the math.
So during the time that the Parliament in England was creating this Declaration of Rights, the Pilgrims had already been in the New World for about 60 years, mm-hmm. 69 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did the Pilgrims leave Britain
They were not free to practice their religion.
They left Britain over religious persecution.
Yep.
The Pilgrims practice a form of Christianity known as separatism, and that emphasized a personal relationship with God. It rejected the practices of the hierarchy of the Church of England and the Catholic Church. They believed in the authority of the Bible. They believed in the authority of the Bible and held to doctrines such as predestination and the importance of individual faith. England, depending on who was on the throne, said, you will belong to the Church of England, or you will belong to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Again, depending on who had the power.
Right.
All right. So the Pilgrims have been here over in North America since 1620. Now, in 1765, now we're talking about the colonial times, England imposed several taxes on the colonies to recover their money from the Seven Years' War, which is also known as the French and Indian War. One of those taxes that the colonists really didn't like was the Stamp Act. Now, the Stamp Act basically meant that any document, paper, letterhead, anything that you needed to communicate stuff had to be stamped with the key, with this. You had to pay a tax for that paper, and there was had to be a stamp on it so that anybody who received that paper could see that this thing was written on officially approved paper. Okay. And now that included newspapers. That included pamphlets, which was a very popular way to communicate political ideas.
Can like, I try to simplify this a little bit?
Yeah.
Anytime you bought something that had a stamp on it, you had to pay a tax on it. And every time you bought something that you wanted to publish something on, it had to that was taxed as well.
Yeah.
That's what and the Stamp
you,
Act was.
When you bought that published product, you had to pay for that stamp.
And that was just another well. Way for England but to impose more taxes on
impose
people.
Impose more taxes, but it also helped them control the people who were printing things like, hey, folks, we need to start thinking about being our own nation here and start telling England we have rights and you need to listen to us, because they didn't have representatives in England representing these colonies.
So they imposed this tax to stop the or to slow down the dissemination of information.
Mainly it's to collect money, but the effect that it has mm-hmm. was it slowed communication. It hampered communication
right.
between
yeah.
the colonies.
Okay,
yes.
I get it.
Okay. That was 1765. 1771. State of Virginia jails 50 Baptist worshipers for preaching the gospel contrary to the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. Remember, I told you over in England, Anglican Church, Catholic Church, big power struggle.
So now the state of Virginia is kind of doing what England was doing.
It weaseled its way over here.
Yeah, right.
And during the early days of the colonies, yep, there was a power struggle between the churches.
Yeah.
Right? In 1774, 18 Baptists are jailed in Massachusetts for refusing to pay taxes to support the Congregational Church. Mm-hmm. Okay. What are we seeing here? Religious persecution.
Yeah, right.
Right? April 19th, 1775, Lexington and Concord. British regulars came looking to seize gunpowder from the colonials, but also to seize a guy named Samuel Adams and another guy named John Hancock in Lexington. Why were they looking to seize them, Angie?
They didn't like what they were saying.
They did not like what these guys were saying.
Yep.
These guys were telling people, we need to break free from Britain. We need to have our own nation. We need to live independently and with liberty.
I'm going to bring us back to 2025 for a second.
Okay.
You and I read about those guys in school.
Yep.
And I loved reading about history. I don't even know if schools teach that history anymore.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
All right. Go back to 1775.
May 15th, 1776. Second Continental Congress issued a resolve to the 13 colonies, and that resolve was, quote, to adopt such a government as shall, in the opinion of the representatives of the people, best conduce to the safety and happiness of their constituents in particular and America in general. This is the start of creating a new government for the colonies after we won our Revolutionary War. The Constitution was drawn up, argued over, fought over, rewritten, you name it. It was finally finished up, but a bunch of delegates refused to ratify it. Because it did not have, let's scroll all the way back up to 1689. What did England have?
Declaration of Rights.
Declaration of Rights. They looked all the way back there. Mm-hmm. And they said, we're not going to sign this thing that just created this big, huge governmental framework unless there's some kind of Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
Attached to it that sets our rights down as the foundation before you even start a government.
Yeah.
And so they got to work and they created a Bill of Rights. Go ahead.
When
when we were homeschooling the kids, and we were RVing, we took the kids, and they actually saw the U.S. Constitution.
Awesome.
I mean, there's several copies of it, but, you know, they pull the thing out, and the lights are just low enough so the ink won't get old and everything. And that was, of course, we'd made them read it and tested them on it in the Bill of Rights as well. But for them to actually see the actual document.
Oh, yeah.
I was saying, you know, I was watching my kids, and they're just enthralled that something that old is still available for people to actually see the real document. Yeah, it was great. That was a great day.
And, you know, honestly, I wonder how many countries actually let you go look at the original documents that formed the government that you are now under, you know?
And how many parents ensure that their kids are reading those to this day.
That's true, too.
I mean, it's really, really important. Yeah.
Well, June 21, 1788, New Hampshire was the ninth state to ratify the Constitution of the United States, and therefore it was ratified. They had to continue getting other states to sign it, but New Hampshire was the ninth of 13 states to ratify the Constitution, and it became our framework for government.
Great.
The very first amendment to that Constitution. Here we go, folks. What did you write down?
Don't worry, he's not going to read the whole thing.
Did you say freedom of speech? Yes, I am. Well, not the whole Constitution. No.
That's what I meant.
What did you write down? Did you think First Amendment right away says freedom of speech? You would be wrong. Here's the First Amendment, word for word, as written by our founding fathers. Congress. Let's stop right there.
Yeah, that's an important word.
Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Not ABC. Not Next Star.
Yeah. Not CNN.
Not Facebook.
Not Fox.
Not Twitter.
Yeah.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of free speech. No! No, no. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion.
Yep.
Religion. Folks, religion. It was all about God in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right from the start of our country. Religion. First thing they said, you're right, is to practice how you want to practice your worship of God.
Yeah.
Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Let's go back.
Again, religion.
Pull out the religion part.
Okay.
Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise.
Wait.
Go ahead.
I see. You're skipping. Okay.
Right. So people can hear the whole context of that part of the paragraph. Yeah.
So Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Therefore, they shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion.
Right.
Okay. Or abridging the freedom of speech. That means they can't infringe on your freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The government.
Right.
Now, it says Congress. Now, I've done my studying here. Many, 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 many sources that I looked into says the Supreme Court has interpreted this to extend to the entire federal government. Unfortunately, hey, if there are any guys, any of y'all out there that are really good on law history and stuff, if you can find what Supreme Court case that was, because I can't find it. They all say Supreme Court is interpreted to extend the entire federal government, but I'd love to see the case, the actual case that says, no, it's only Congress, not the president, not the in the Supreme Court said, nope, it's the whole government.
Yeah.
No, not just one branch of it, the whole government.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to start again. We're going to read it all the way through now. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Where in there does it say that your boss can't fire you for being an idiot?
Yeah.
Where in there does it say that you can't get canceled from your TV contract because you're an idiot?
They should tweak that law and add something at the end. This does not say that you can't get fired for being an idiot.
But here's what everybody's screaming and yelling and gnashing their teeth over is, oh my God, Jimmy Kimmel got pulled off the air and it's a threat to the First Amendment. No, it is not.
Right.
Unless you find out that somebody got some call from Trump or the FCC commissioner saying you better do this or we're going to pull your license.
And again, there are rumors that Trump is saying that, but he's, that. The people that are saying that are lying.
Yeah, prove it.
Yeah.
And again, did you hear me read anything in here about you have the right to an FCC license?
No.
No, they have regulations. You have to follow them if you're going to have a license. If you don't want to follow them, don't take the license.
Or give up your license.
Just feel free. Turn it right back in.
Right. Yeah.
And you can go online. You can start a YouTube channel. You can say whatever the heck you want. Well, as long as YouTube likes it, because mm-hmm. they'll kick you off too.
Yeah.
But you can go anywhere you want. Jimmy Kimmel has the freedom, has the liberty to say whatever the hell he wants to. He does not have the right to say it on ABC.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the right to say it on Disney. He doesn't have the right to say it on Romper Room. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to give him a platform.
Yeah.
He has no right to that. He can start right now his own podcast and tell us all what a jerk Trump is mm-hmm. and how, you know, Charlie Kirk deserved to die and this kid was one of us and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever you want. That's fine. See how many people listen to you.
Right.
See how long you go. Yeah, see how much money you make doing that. I don't know. Give it a shot.
He doesn't have a right to do it working under somebody
but
else.
Don't,
who
yeah, you
doesn't
don't
allow it. Yeah.
Have a right to the platform of ABC.
Right.
If they don't want you there. And right now, they are apparently somebody smart enough. Well, yeah, Nextel and Sinclair mm-hmm. are smart enough to realize this is the third rail right here. Don't step on this.
Yeah.
We right. are going to back away from this. We are not going to put up with this. And everybody else that we're showing on TV better figure it out quick too.
And it's all about money.
Yes.
It's all about keeping your business going.
We don't want to, yeah, we don't want our business to collapse.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I dare say nothing that Chuck Schumer said and nothing that all these people that are wailing and gnashing their teeth over Jimmy Kimmel has anything to do with the First Amendment.
Well, putting it at an elementary level. Mm-hmm. Congress didn't shut down Jimmy Kimmel.
No, they didn't.
It was a
and the federal
company,
government did not
right,
shut them down.
A company shut him
chose
down.
Not to do business with him.
Right, exactly.
That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
They chose not to have him on their lineup. That's all that happened.
Yeah, right.
You know how many times I've gotten fired in my life? Do you see me crying and whining and beating on someone's doors? Freedom of speech. No. And Jimmy Kimmel needs to move on, mm-hmm. get a life.
Do you want to talk about how you lost your last cop job for speaking out for somebody?
Yeah, we can touch on that. It really didn't have so much to do with First Amendment, but I'm going to make a real long story short.
Okay, so you
I'm
just
gonna try.
Said, you just said how many times you've been fired. So start with, well, one of the times I got fired.
Okay, well, so... 2008.
Yeah, tell us about that one time you got fired.
2008. I'm a cop in a little town called Mulberry, Florida. I happen to see a guy. I'm parked in a what would be known as a predominantly black part of town.
You're writing like a ticket or something.
No,
or
I'm writing a report.
Something.
Oh,
okay, all right.
I'm in a marked patrol car.
Yeah.
My headlights are on. Mm-hmm. I'm parked on the side of the road. It's clear who I am and what I am. A guy comes walking down the street. Now, I am one block behind a Dollar General store. Okay. Guy comes walking down the street. He sees me. He looks at me, continues walking down the street. I watch him walking down the street. Okay. We're done. I go back to my ride. As he gets to the next block, up pulls another one of our units. And I hear one of my fellow officers calling in, contacting the individual. Okay, that's you're welcome to contact anyone you want and check them out, you know. It was about 10 o'clock at night. Then the supervisor, the officer after running a name calls the supervisor. Supervisor comes out there. And within about 2 minutes, they're arresting this guy. I'm like, gee, that's interesting. I wonder maybe he had some drugs fall out of his pocket or something, you know.
Because you didn't see anything odd about his behavior.
There was nothing
just
odd about
this
his
guy
behavior.
Walking down the street.
Nothing
yeah.
whatsoever.
Okay.
Florida has a law called loitering and prowling. And basically, and I'm not quoting from my recollection, paraphrasing, if you are in a place at a time under certain circumstances that would cause an average person, quote unquote, alarm. In other words, they think you're up to, you know, you shouldn't be there at that time doing what you're doing, whatever it caused them to think a crime may be afoot.
Okay.
A police officer has the right to stop you, question you, find out what you're up to. If your story doesn't match up, you can be arrested for what's called loitering and prowling. Even though they can't prove what you were doing, mm-hmm. they can prove that you really shouldn't be there. It's a crime prevention measure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they haul this guy in, and I find out they're arresting him for giving a false name. Yeah, this does fall under the First Amendment, doesn't it? If a police officer walks up to you and says, I'd like to ask you some questions. What's your name?
Angie.
If that officer does not have a reasonable suspicion that you are doing something illegal, and he is not detaining you, you can tell him, my name's John Smith. My name's Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
They can't do anything to you. You are not required to give them an honest answer.
Or give them any answer at all.
Now, right. If they say, hey, listen, we just had a robbery up the street and you match the description. I need you some identification. What's your name?
Yeah.
When he has let you know that you are not free to leave and that they are investigating something, at that point, anything that you say that's false, they can do something about that.
Okay.
So it turns out, let's fast forward. So I go and I think it was the next day, maybe. I'm just kind of curious. I go and find the report. Strangely enough, this other officer that first rolled up on this guy said he was lurking around behind a closed business. We were one block behind a Dollar General at 10 a.m. Oh, he also said late at night.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 10 p.m. And this guy's walking down the street a block away. There were no other buildings. And it was a vacant lot that he was walking next to. There was no other buildings anywhere near him.
Okay.
So he's, quote, lurking suspiciously behind a closed business. So they stopped him to investigate. And when they asked him his name, he gave him a false name.
So but he wasn't lurking when they stopped him. He wasn't walking.
Because I watched him.
Yeah,
he
right.
wasn't. Yeah. Again, trying to stay out of the legal mush here. If he was like right next to that building looking in doors or trying to open something or something. Yeah, that would certainly, you know, if he was standing at the very corner of that business looking around to see if anyone was watching him. That's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
But walking down the street one block away from this building is not lurking around a closed building, behind a closed building late at night.
He may have just been walking home from work.
Anyway, what I found out later was that we had done a traffic stop the night before this arrest. And there was somebody in the crowd, again, predominantly black neighborhood. We're a bunch of cops. We're searching a car for drugs. So we have two or three units there. And there was a small crowd who were all kind of throwing jokes our way and taunting us and stuff like that. You know, me having been a cop for, you know, going on 15 years at that point, just to ignore it and just keep doing what I do. Well, this supervisor marches up to that crowd. And now I can't see because of the lights and everything, and I'm focused on the search that's going on ahead of me. Well, I hear him demanding somebody's ID. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're game, dude, you know.
Yeah.
And apparently this was the kid, and he gave him that same fake name. He said, I don't have any ID on me. Well, what's your name? Well, my name's
This is the same guy, Joe Schmo. Who gets taken in the next day.
You got it.
Oh.
They couldn't arrest. He didn't. The supervisor didn't arrest him that night.
Went back and found
him.
He
was in a crowd. Yeah. He had a bunch of witnesses. They all knew that he didn't do anything but laugh at us for searching a car.
Yeah.
But they got him the next night. Mm. And they made up a story to be able to arrest him. So I went to the chief with that. Chief told me mind my own business and keep quiet. And I didn't.
Yeah.
The next day I went to the public defender's office and found out who his public defender was, sat down and said, this is what I observed the other night. Mm-hmm. You're being told this, and if this goes to trial, you can call on me as a witness.
Because he didn't do anything wrong.
I will testify in open court as to what I saw as a police officer.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't take long to get back to the chief.
Yeah.
And that was the end of my career.
Yeah.
And I fought it. Unfortunately, they made up another story claiming that it was just me and the chief in his office. There was no recording or anything, but he claimed that he told me he was going to start an internal investigation and look into this, and I wasn't allowed to say anything to anybody, and blah 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 blah. Well, I'm a fairly intelligent guy. I would think if you told me that there's going to be an investigation and don't talk to anybody, I would run over to the public defender's office to stop somebody from going to jail. So,
well, you may have completely changed the course of this kid's future.
Possibly.
And charges were dropped, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the state attorney immediately dropped charges on this. That thing didn't go any further. But, yeah, I wound up losing my job.
And then
was
you
was basically never able to be a cop again because I was a rat.
Right. Yeah. I want to point out that Blue Lives Matter, The Heart Behind the Badge, Brian's book, this story is in there along with many others. But I'm extremely proud to be married to a man who was willing to go so far.
Stood my ground.
To fight for the rights of one guy.
Cost me a lot, too. Cost me a marriage. Cost me a house.
Yeah.
Cost me my career. Cost a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm pretty hardcore when it comes to First Amendment.
Yeah.
People's right to say what they want to say.
Yeah.
But I'm also a hardcore defender of the truth.
Yeah.
Don't tell lies. I despise liars.
Yeah.
From what happened to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely despise people that tell lies.
As you should.
Especially just because they want a narrative, and they'll say whatever it takes to get that narrative. So let us move on. So now that we've looked at a fake First Amendment violation, not my situation, but Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
We're back to Jimmy Kimmel. We're back in the Dragon Waters. Out of the streets of Mulberry, Florida, and into the Dragon Waters of the First Amendment. Let's look at some real First Amendment violations here. And this story comes from PBS.org.
Hmm. Glad you didn't pull everything out of Fox. I mean, in fact, it looks like almost all the links you have are from liberal news sources.
I don't have a single Fox story in
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
August 27, 2024. Y'all remember this? Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg alleges that officials, including those from the White House, quote unquote, repeatedly pressured Facebook for months to take down, quote, certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, unquote. You weren't allowed to say, I don't think that vaccine's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't allowed to say masks are stupid. You'd get your whole account pulled down from Facebook.
And those were opinions.
And
they were not facts. They were opinions.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Mark Zuckerberg himself, and Mark Zuckerberg, last I check, ain't MAGA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alleged that officials, including from the White House, that is the Biden administration, that is the government.
Yeah.
Repeatedly pressured Facebook, a platform, to take down certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire. Free speech.
Yeah.
The government told Facebook, take it down.
Yeah.
That is a First Amendment violation.
Yep.
Where were all these people screaming and yelling back then?
Now, Zuckerberg just taking those things down because he didn't like them, that's one thing. The government told him to do it.
That's
where it crosses
that's
over.
That's when basically that's what they call you become the government's agent.
Yeah.
The government can't take that down, but they'll make you take it down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's one from ncregister.com. Paul Vaughn, 2021, he was a pro-life activist. He attended a peaceful protest. I think this was in Tennessee. I should have added this.
Might be North Carolina.
This was at an abortion clinic. He and some others stood in a hallway that the abortion clinic. So the abortion clinic was part of one of these like medical plazas.
Yeah.
And it was just one office out of several. They were in a hallway, singing and praying singing hymns and praying, and if and women who were going into the abortion clinic, they were asking if they would talk to them and let them talk to them about God and the sanctity of life. And he says, quote, "I in no way sat at the door or risked anything that I thought would be illegal, and I had police guidance on the subject." He actually went to the police and said, "Is it legal for us to stand in this hallway, pray and sing?" They basically told him, yeah, as long as you don't block the door. If you block the door, you're in violation of what's called the FACE Act. That's a federal act. You're not allowed to block doors of abortion clinics to keep you from going inside, because some abortion activists did try that for a while. They didn't do that. They sat in the hallway and they sang and they prayed. Well, in October of 2022 at 7 a.m. on a Friday, in front of his family, up runs the FBI banging on his door and arrest him in front of his wife and 11 kids.
So there is again the federal government.
The federal government a year later comes in because you were praying and singing outside of an abortion clinic, and they arrest you for it.
Yep. That's a violation of
the First Amendment. That's a violation of the First Amendment.
Yep.
Trump luckily pardoned this man, because otherwise he was going to have a long, drawn-out trip up to the Supreme Court, which I'm pretty sure
would have
overthrown this.
Yeah.
But that's time that he had to spend in prison waiting for that.
Yeah.
NBCnews.com. Y'all remember COVID? Couldn't go nowhere. Had to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Stay inside. Stay 6 feet away from everybody. Church congregations weren't permitted to assemble while Antifa was allowed to riot in the streets.
Oh, I remember that.
March 30th, 2020, Rodney Howard Brown. He's a pastor. He's in Florida, Tampa, Florida. They were told you can't have services. Can't worship your God. Sorry, it's COVID, don't you know? Mm-hmm. Well, he decided to have services anyway, and the sheriff's department, led by Chad Cronister, thank you very much, they came and arrested him. Arrested him for holding church services. Now, keep that date in mind, March 30th, 2020.
Okay.
Later on, Trump tried to get Chad Cronister on as the DEA head, I believe. And enough people threw a fit over that, over this incident.
Good.
And he didn't get that position.
Good.
WWLTV.com. This is out of Louisiana. Pastor Tony Spell, Life Tabernacle Church. The town is called Central. It's in Louisiana. No, it's not Central Louisiana. It's Central.
It's a town called Central.
April 2020, just a month before Rodney, the pastor, got arrested. He was arrested for, Pastor Tony Spell was arrested for 6 misdemeanor charges of violating a governor's orders not to have anybody come to church. Well, I think he was limiting the numbers, the people that could be in the, you know, being at a church service.
Even more ridiculous,
And according to the police chief of Central, Roger Corcoran, quote, he will be held responsible for his reckless and irresponsible decisions that endangered the health of his congregation and our community. Let's go back to that First Amendment real quick. Let's see here. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the
free exercise thereof.
Not you can only have 10, not you can only have 20, 30, 50. You cannot infringe on the free exercise of people's religion.
Yep.
In May 13, 2022, the Louisiana Supreme Court ruled that the state's restrictions violated the pastor's fundamental right to exercise religion, making it unconstitutional. That's ChristianityDaily.com. He won his appeal on that, but that didn't mean he didn't get to go to jail. Had to sit in jail because he held church services.
You know, a lot of these cases turned into lawsuits later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. While they're arresting pastors for having church services back in 2020 during this time, here's a story from WUSF.org. Thousands marched through the streets of South Tampa on Saturday during a Black Lives Matter rally.
I remember that.
June 14th, 2020. Last I checked, COVID was still going on. When was Rodney Howard Brown in Tampa arrested for having a church service?
March 30th, 2020.
Just a couple of months after they arrest a pastor for holding a church service, were any of these Black Lives Matter people arrested?
No, but no. Brian, that's because they were protesting. They weren't preaching the word.
And they've got a picture on this story. Every one of them's got a mask on. Mm-hmm. So this was middle of COVID.
Yeah.
Middle of COVID. We don't mind if thousands gather to sit there and trash cops, but you ain't going to gather to praise God.
Right. Yep.
And
those were local officials who were doing the arrest, but that's still the government coming in
government.
And stopping you
right.
from exercising your First Amendment rights. Yep.
And just to even things up, I went into Wikipedia and looked up George Floyd protests in Louisiana during 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Pastor Tony Spell was arrested April 2020.
Yeah.
Again, this is not my political opinion. These are facts that I'm giving you.
Yeah,
and I'm absolutely. Giving you my sources.
Yep.
Okay? So at the same time period that they were arresting a pastor six times for having church services, BLM protests in Louisiana, 2020. Alexandria, on May 31st, they had dozens show up for a BLM protest. Baton Rouge, May 30th, 2020. Hundreds show up in Baton Rouge to protest cops.
And some of these people were throwing bricks through windows and starting fires and
yep. yeah,
committing
they weren't
other violence.
Hymns.
And-
yeah. In yeah. in town Houma
yeah one Houma. Of those
May 31st 66 people show up May 31st Lafayette several hundred show up to these protests Lake Charles May 31st 300 show up to protest May 30th New Orleans over 1,000 show up Shreveport mm-hmm. May 31st 300 to 500 show up how many arrests for COVID violation.
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
Not a one.
Yep.
Violation of your constitutional rights? I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are First Amendment violations. The government coming in, taking you to jail because you're trying to worship God, and they use COVID as an excuse,
mm-hmm.
and yet a group of thousands can come out and gather in the streets. They weren't 6 feet apart. I saw the videos.
Yeah.
And nobody cared about COVID then.
Yeah.
And they got to have their free speech.
Right. Exactly.
So when you're listening to all this and you hear people screaming and wailing and hollering and beating their heads against the wall about the threat to our democracy and First Amendment violations, be sure you know what the First Amendment says. Be sure you understand. In fact, download a copy of the Constitution. Read it.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed how much smarter you'll get when you actually know what the Constitution really says.
Mm-hmm. And the whole Jimmy Kimmel incident?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with a right to free speech.
No.
It has everything to do with an employer doing
business.
What's best yeah. for their business.
And yeah. all these people that are getting fired because they jumped online and said, yay, Charlie Kirk's dead. Those are employers
mm-hmm.
that felt that you getting online and spouting that crap was going to hurt their business.
Now, some people are complaining that, they shouldn't be able to fire teachers and college professors.
No, yes, they absolutely should.
Yeah, yes, they can fire yeah. them. And here's why. If I was going to send my kid to XYZ college and I found out that there were professors celebrating the assassination of somebody, I wouldn't send my kid there.
I don't, as a college professor, I don't care if that's how you feel. I don't care. If you want to go home and get naked and slather Jell-O all over you and dance on your porch because Charlie Kirk's dead, fine and dandy. But shut up when you get to school.
Yeah. Teach the classes.
Teach the class you're supposed to teach and don't tell the kids what you think about Charlie Kirk.
And how this is associated with a business is colleges get paid for kids that come to school. They either
get
paid through...
Not to mention they get federal money.
Yeah, they get federal money.
Yeah.
They get paid through grants, and they get paid by the parents of college yeah. students and college students themselves. It's a business.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care if it's a public university. It's a business.
They need money,
and
they need those tuitions. And if people stop showing up
right.
because you had a big, yay, Charlie Kirk is dead you know,
professor or whatever. Yeah.
You're going to lose money.
Yeah. And public schools.
Yeah.
Public schools get paid by the government for every single kid that shows up every day.
Hmm.
If teachers start spouting these things and upsetting children and upsetting their parents, I mean, the homeschool movement has never been bigger. So the school districts start losing money.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Yes, that's why they're firing teachers now for doing these things.
You know, when I was working in that insurance company when you first met me, and I was a supervisor there, we ran a call center, and every one of our people on phones were recorded, you know. And we also had people who got to take computers home and work from home. We actually had a work from home thing. And one of the girls that worked for me was talking to a difficult customer online, on the phone. And multiple times she's like, well, can you please hold while I look that up? You know, let me place you on a short hold, da-da-da-da. You know, she's following the script, doing good. And this woman was just getting more and more, just wouldn't cooperate. And the girl goes to put her on hold again, but she didn't push the button, or she pushed the wrong button. I don't know, but that customer got to listen to that insurance rep scream like a banshee and yell as loud as she could, "This effing bitch, I'm gonna effing choke her to death."
Good thing this isn't on private TV. And, good thing we're considered online or cable.
And then the girl came back on. A woman's like, "I just want you to know, I just heard everything you just said."
Good for her.
You know, I can imagine the load in that girl's shorts when she said it. Well, okay. So, of course, we get the complaint. We listen to it. Guess what? She got fired. We fired her.
Sure.
Now, if she had properly pushed the mute button,
everybody probably maybe would have laughed about
it. Nobody would have known anything.
But
and she wouldn't got. She was free to say that.
Yeah.
Even with the mute button off, she was free to say that.
And your employer was free to fire her for it.
But we didn't want one customer for Cigna.
Yeah.
Listening to that and telling everybody else, this is how I got treated when I called up.
Absolutely.
And again, if she had been in the building with the other operators, and had muted and leaned over to the person next to her, say, "I am so sick of this person. I just want to choke them out. They're just driving me nuts. She's a bitch."
Mm-hmm.
She's welcome to say that.
Yeah,
she's free to say that.
Yeah,
and if nobody else had cared, she would have kept her job.
Yeah,
but because she said it at the wrong time in front of the wrong person, she lost her job. That wasn't a violation of the First Amendment. That's just, you made our company look
bad. Just common sense.
Yeah.
I have a similar story. We had a contractor working for us years and years ago and started getting complaints from authors that she was rude to them.
Mm-hmm.
She would belittle them.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I'm like, I got to find somebody else to do this. And she was a contractor, so I didn't fire her. She was an employee. That's another thing. Contractors don't have to keep you working for them either, even if it's a contractual relationship. And I cut her loose, and she hired a lawyer. Well, that didn't go very far because I sent the lawyer information I had, and it stopped right there. But as a business owner, it was my right to, again, this was about speech.
Mm-hmm.
She was being rude.
Yeah.
She was making authors feel bad.
Yeah.
I mean, not like hurting their feelings, but belittling them, you know, as far as what I can remember. And she was free to say whatever she could, but she wasn't free to remain my contractor because I cut her off and I was her sole source of income. But, you know, people need to watch what they say.
We had that other editor that started, rather than just editing people's books, wanted to tell people how to create their, you know, no, this character's no good. You need to create them like this. You need to make this person this way and this person that way and that part. And
she was also very rude to authors.
And she was very rude.
She pretended like she was a know-it-all. And when they disagreed with her, she would get very angry with them. Yep. And we had to cut her loose, too.
And we cut her loose.
Yeah.
She had every right to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the right to cut her loose because you're making our business look bad now.
And some of her suggestions were good. In fact, a lot of them were. But the way that she portrayed, but the way that, her language and
rather than
her
hey,
attitude.
What if you consider this? I think this might be a good idea. She was like, no, this character sucks. You need to make it this.
That's how it was. Yeah.
You know, So that about wraps it up. I think we approve that Jimmy Kimmel's removal from the networks is not a violation of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. Government had nothing to do with him being removed. Mm-hmm. Just like Colbert, his ratings were, well, you know, he was costing a lot of money. His ratings were down the toilet. So were Kimmel's, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
His ratings were crap. And if I might make a prediction, I think The View might be the next thing to go.
Not
a whole lot of people watch them either.
The next day after that whole controversy erupted, I read that The View did like this little intro, and then they replayed the episode from the day before or something. They have not even stepped in this controversy. I think that they know.
Yeah, they're smarting
because,
up then.
If one show isn't making money for a network, you know, I don't care what they're talking about. I read opinions online where it doesn't matter that he was losing money for the network. It's he has the right to be heard anyway.
You're absolutely right. He has the right to be heard, but he does not have the right to a platform to be heard. He has to go find his own platform to be heard on. He can stand on the street corner and spew his crap if anyone wants to listen.
Yeah.
But he does not have a right to be on television on somebody's dime.
Yeah.
Sorry. Nope.
One final thing I wanted to mention was that as the owner of a publishing company, we reject books all the time for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And we're not cake bakers, but there are books that we just flat won't publish.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not publish a book that was pro-Trump and that talked about Biden being a child molester. I just wouldn't do it because it's a lie. Yeah. You can't prove it. And besides, who wants to read about that?
Yeah.
You know, no matter how much money you offer me, I'm not going to publish a book that's National Enquirer.
Yeah.
That's garbage. I'm not. I'm sorry. Let me reword that. I'm not going to publish a book that's like Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it because if I publish those types of books.
And we've seen those.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen everything.
On both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take the risk of somebody getting so upset about a book. Let's say this book just takes off. It's all over the news and everything. People are buying copies, but all of a sudden, somebody mentions in an article it was published by this company, and then people boycott us. Half the country boycotts us. I mean, seriously, what's the? I mean, what's the point? Why even publish a book like that?
Yeah.
So if you
and
own
we,
a,
and we do publish books on subjects with which we disagree.
Sure. Yes, we do.
We publish all kinds of stuff that we're like, man, this guy's wrong. But, you know.
Yeah, in their opinion, they're wrong. Yeah, but we publish many books.
We'll publish them.
Yeah, sure. But we won't publish garbage.
Yeah.
And when an author or a comedian or some kind of public figure comes out and just boldly lies to the public, we're not going to work with an author like that. We just won't because we have standards and ethics. And it's our right not to do business with people like that.
Exactly.
Anything that might put our business and reputation at risk, we have the right to refuse to do business with that person. And that includes employees and contractors.
There you go.
Yep.
Hopefully y'all learned something here. And, you know, more than ever, we're in tough times in this country. Now's the time to stand boldly, speak boldly. Don't be afraid. You got to speak out for what the Constitution really honestly says. You got to stand up for the truth. You can't put up with the BS and the lies anymore.
Yeah, right.
That's where we went wrong. We stopped fighting back and standing up. By fighting back, I mean standing your ground and not backing down. Don't be violent. But
not backing down from debates.
Yeah, if we quit standing for what's right because we're scared of getting, quote, canceled and getting this and that, then we're going to lose it all.
But you also have to weigh.
But make sure your words are correct.
Make sure your words are correct.
Yes.
And proper. And
And it starts, honestly, a great start. Pull up the Bill of Rights. Make sure you know those rights.
Mm-hmm.
Pull up the Constitution. Make sure you understand what it says and what it doesn't say.
Yeah.
Know what how our government is built. And yeah. you'll win most of the arguments against stupid people who want to scream something like, it's a violation of the First Amendment. You will win because you will know what the First Amendment really says.
Yep.
Because I guarantee all those people screaming that don't have never read it. Yep. They have no idea.
Yeah.
We appreciate you listening to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Let's try that again. Angela, you got anything else for us before we close out?
No, I just want to talk about, you know, the right to be able to publish a book or not publish a book, but I'm hungry.
Okay.
And what's for dinner?
Don't we have some more Logan's Roadhouse leftovers?
That's right. Okay. We have leftovers.
Anyway, hey, if you got a book you want to publish, again, we're getting up on Christmas. Yeah, you don't have much time.
Time is now.
Get in on it. Booklocker.com. Click that contact link and you'll be talking to Angie.
Oh, I forgot. Newsletter.booklocker.com/Xmas, where it's $150 sale right now to sign up for the publishing packages, because we're encouraging people, hurry up, because we want to embark it, you know, long before Christmas. So
we're practically giving it away.
Not that.
Okay. What's that address again?
Newsletter.booklocker.com/Xmas.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And we will see you again next time on the Writers Weekly Podcast.
See you later.
Bye.
Violation of the First Amendment.